state in the nation has different laws about young drivers, spelling out the age they can get behind the wheel, the number of hours of practice they need, and how many passengers can accompany a teen with a learner's permit. A recent analysis of state laws by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety puts New Hampshire at about the middle of the pack when it comes to how tough our teen driving requirements are. But the Institute wants more from the Granite State. A recent study by the Institute indicates that tighter restrictions on young drivers could save many lives, and it's pushing for changes, such as increasing the learner's permit age to 16 instead of 15 and a half, and requiring 65 hours of behind-the-wheel practice instead of our current 40 hours. But these suggestions may not go over well here. In a rural state with little public transportation, driving for teens means freedom, mobility, and independence. And some parents are only too happy to let them take the car. After years of shuttling them around, teen driving can also mean freedom for mom and dad. Today in The Exchange, tougher laws for teen drivers. Do we need to tighten up or not? Tell us what you think. What have been your observations on the road? Are you a parent of a teen? Do you feel they are prepared enough when you hand over the keys or not? Are you a teenager yourself learning to drive, or did you recently get your license? What have you seen? Give us a call, The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post your comment on our Facebook page. Later in the program, we'll hear from the directors of two driving schools. Our guests in studio are Peter Thompson, coordinator for the New Hampshire Highway Safety Agency. And Peter, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Also with us, Howard Hedegaard, Highway Safety Specialist at Dartmouth Injury Prevention Center, co-chair of the Teen Driver Committee. He's also lead instructor and trainer for the New Hampshire Traffic Safety Institute. And Howard, welcome back to you, too. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Well, Peter, just to you first, there's some pretty compelling evidence out there that tighter laws for teen drivers do save lives. What do you think? Should New Hampshire tighten up, or are the rules that we have right now working pretty well?
I think the rules that we are dealing with right now are adequate. We have a lot of professional people out here who are teaching the driving instruction. And I guess if there was one area that would, from my point of view anyway, is tighten up a bit on the motor vehicle hours from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. That's what it is right now. But if I had the – if I were head of the legislature and had the votes, I think I would make that a little bit longer than 1 to 4 for a teenage driver.
So what does that mean exactly? A teenage driver cannot drive between 1 and 4 a.m.?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's a pretty short window. Some states, though, start at 8 p.m. That seems a little crazy if people have to work and come home from athletic events and so forth.
Right. And if you take the North Country where they have sports, it's sometimes miles and miles to the next school. So I wouldn't want it to go back to 8 or 9 or something like that. But I think 1 to 4 is a little bit tight.
So in general, you think the laws are adequate, as you said, Peter. What do you make of the Insurance Institute's calls, though, for this state and others to tighten up?
Well, the Institute is not New Hampshire. And I think we have a good legislature. We have a lot of enforcement people out there. We have some great driver ed people. And I think we know what's best for our children in New Hampshire. And the Institute is trying to talk to all 50 states. And that's fine. But I think we're doing well.
What do you think? What's your perspective on this, Howard? Again, as someone who's worked on this issue for a long time, New Hampshire's laws pretty good, could be tighter. What do you think?
The Insurance Institute of Highway Safety a few years back actually had a rating system, and they rated New Hampshire as fair based on the kinds of information, the kinds of data that have been pulled from graduated licensing programs nationwide since 1996. The concern that I have as co-chair of the Teen Driver Committee and with all of the work that we're involved in with teens is that 26% of 16 and 17-year-olds last year were involved in crashes. That's one
wow,
out
that's
of four.
A lot.
Oh, it's extremely high. Less than 2% of all licensed drivers in New Hampshire are 16 or 17 years of age, and they were involved in just about 6% of the total crashes that happened in New Hampshire last year. And whether they're fender benders, injury-based, or fatalities, that's significant. And we see that the numbers can and do go down. As we provide our teens with a more gradual learning process, giving them the opportunity to become the best that they can be over time.
So a graduated license means you don't just get your license one day and boom, the next day you're driving free and clear. You take certain steps along the way.
That is correct. I like the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety's definition. Their wording is graduated licensing enables new teen drivers to gradually build up driving experience as they mature and develop on the road driving skills. And that's really what it's all about. And year after year, increasing data comes in showing that a good graduated licensing program can save. And the report from the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety suggests that 14 of the 35 teens who have died in New Hampshire during the last 6 years could still be alive today if indeed we had stricter graduated licensing.
So you're getting behind some of these calls to tighten up, Howard.
Very much so.
That's the feeling I'm getting from you. You know, we've been talking about the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, again, pushing all the states to tighten up, including New Hampshire. And there's a couple things that they've been focusing on. Here's one, Peter, that I wanted to ask you about. They'd like us to require 65 hours of practice instead of 40. Does that sound practical to you or not?
Well, I think if we do 40 hours and we have the parents being involved in that 40 hours, I think we've done a pretty good amount of hours for this individual. At some point we have to make decisions in New Hampshire rather than the Institute trying to make laws for us, and therefore we moved from 30 to 40 a few years ago, and I think 40 is a good number of hours, and I think we've, as I said before, have some real professional people out here who are working for the youngsters.
By the way, I couldn't help but wonder as I was going through the material, Peter, this is on the honor system, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're counting on parents or guardians to be honest when they log the amount of miles. Somebody
exactly.
could just, you know, sign a piece of paper.
Exactly. That is one of the faults of doing it. We really, if parents really get involved with the young people, it's going to make a big difference.
Joining us now on the phone with an on-the-ground perspective on this issue is John Pacheco. He is head of Chico's Driving Center in Pinardville. And John, good to have you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being with us. We've been looking at suggestions that New Hampshire tighten up. First of all, John, how would you rate the effectiveness of New Hampshire's teen driving rules? You know, number of hours they need behind the wheel, when they can drive, who they can be with, and so forth.
Well, right now, I feel that the rules that New Hampshire is putting in place are really good rules, all right? They're very strong. Our curriculum is outstanding. Okay, what we do instruct mostly is to be aware of risk.
In terms of risk, what are the biggest risks that teens tend to miss?
Risk management, as far as, you know, what could happen if I do this or that, okay? We spend a lot of time with distracted driving. Okay, how are you distracted? What distracted you? All right, this is very, very important, you know, as opposed to just teaching them how to park a car. Right.
Yeah, or stop at a stop sign, which is pretty
exactly.
basic.
Exactly. So we're doing all this risk management, which, you know, our state has done a great job of setting up this curriculum, right? You know, that's what I get out of this.
I had heard that that the states that had gone more towards this tougher graduated licensing system, and New Hampshire's, you know, as I said, in the middle of the pack on this, I had heard that in some of the states that have gotten really strict, John, and I want your thoughts on this, kids were just saying, forget it, I'll wait till I'm 18, and it's not going to be so hard. I won't have so many hoops to jump through. What do you think? Is that true?
Well, I think that is true, but I think the tougher the laws, it's only going to be for the kids who obey the laws. You know, they say that locks are for honest people, you know. So I believe these are the only people that are going to be impacted by these laws. Why give a good kid, you know, more of a restriction when those are the people that, you know, are already obeying the rules? I believe that more education can never hurt us, okay?
Who has to take driver's ed and who doesn't? I think I had read that after you're 18, you don't have to do driver's education. Before that, you do. Is that right?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And who offers it these days? Is it through the high schools, or do you have to pay for it out of pocket, or what?
Well, you have to pay for it out of pocket, okay, through the high schools. Now, New Hampshire, they were giving, you know, some money off when it was through the high schools, but, you know, due to our economic times, they've stopped doing that. So it's pretty much on an even plane now with commercial driving schools in high schools. I just believe that parents should spend more time with their student drivers after they get their license.
Really? So tell us more about that. Once it's not mandatory, most parents say, phew, I don't have to be in the car anymore.
That's right. I believe that's when all the bad habits start, because they're not in the car, you know, with their parents or with a driving instructor. They're a little bit more left on their own, and, you know, they sometimes decision-making isn't the best.
So, if you could change just one thing, John, about New Hampshire's rules surrounding young drivers, what would that be, if anything?
I think I'd be a little bit more lenient towards, you know, the 20-year-old person who's still a youth operator, but if they have one moving violation, they lose their privilege for 20 days. Now, I believe that we should keep that intact, but I don't believe it should be 20-year-old, because what about the 20-year-old guy that's going to work to support his family who just got a ticket for rolling through that stop sign? Okay, he didn't manage his risk, but he's going to lose his privilege for 20 days. That's a lot. That's a big, big penalty for some guy who's trying to feed a family.
Well, John, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. That's John Pacheco of Chico's Driving Center in Pinardville, looking at some of the rules and regulations surrounding teen drivers here in New Hampshire. And that's what we're talking about today on The Exchange. Let's hear from you, 1-800-892-6477. Should New Hampshire change some of its rules and regulations surrounding teenage drivers or not? We want your opinions, and we'll check in with you after a very short break.
Hampstead, Hampton, Hampton Falls, Hancock, Hanover, Harrisville, Hart's Location, Haverhill, Henniger, Hill, Hinsdale.
Hey, Brady.
Holderness, Hollis, Hooksett,
oh,
Hopkins,
hey, hey,
Hudson,
Rebecca.
Jackson, Jaffrey, Jefferson, Keene, Kensington,
what is he
Kingston,
doing?
Laconia, Lancaster, Landaff,
he is
Langdon,
listing all
Lebanon,
the places in New Hampshire
Lester,
you could travel
Lincoln,
to
Lisbon,
if you win
Lisbon,
our early bird prize.
Londonderry, Loudon, Lyman, Lyme, Leidenburg.
This is about our car
Madbury,
raffle,
Madison,
right?
Madison, Manchester,
yep.
Marlboro,
anyone
Marlowe,
who buys a ticket
Mason,
by August
Meredith,
4th
Merrimack,
gets a shot at $2,000 in gas
Milton,
gift cards from Irving
Milford,
Oil.
Milton, Monroe, Mount Vernon.
That's a lot
Moultonboro,
of gas. You could drive anywhere in New Hampshire with that.
Yeah. New Hampton, New Ipswich, New London, New Bury, New
How
Fields,
long ago did he start
Newington,
doing this?
New Market,
I don't know.
Newport,
sometime yesterday?
Newton, Northfield, Northampton, Northumberland, Northwood, Nottingham, Orange, Orford, Ossipee, Pelham.
What a lot of people don't know about Mr. Andrew Perella, who is in that particular recording, is he often stands at the map with pushpins and counts out the towns.
It's a way to pass the time.
That's right. I am Rick Ganley, and I am alongside Andrew Perella right here, asking you to buy a raffle ticket right now and help support New Hampshire Public Radio during our summer car raffle and the early bird portion of our car raffle. This is your chance not only to support the radio station, but be entered to win some great prizes. Give us a call right now, 1-888-805-6477, or go online to nhpr.org.
As you mentioned, Rick, this is the early bird portion of our raffle. We'll be raffling off a car in 2 weeks' time, but today we're focusing on the early bird prize. We're thanking people who get their raffle tickets a little early by entering them in a second raffle for no additional charge. In this case, we're raffling off $2,000 in gas gift cards from Irving Oil. That's our early bird prize. $2,000 in gas gift cards. That could take you a long way with your fuel budget. So make sure you get your tickets and get in the raffle for this wonderful prize. And if you do win the early bird prize, your name goes back into the hat to win the prizes we'll be giving away in 2 weeks. So you could possibly be a winner twice over.
And that's it's a great way to support the radio station. And just to have that ticket in hand and knowing that you could win those prizes, it's going to give you, I think, a great feeling for the next couple mm-hmm. of weeks. You know, we have a short list of rules and regulations that govern this raffle, as we do every year. You can have a look at the complete list. It's on our website at nhpr.org, as are the prizes. You can see those there. Now, you can also buy your tickets online as well. But the most important regulation are the eligibility requirements. You have to be at least 18 years of age. You have to have a mailing address in New Hampshire, Vermont, or Massachusetts. Sorry, Maine, you're out on this one. And that's about it. So what are you waiting for? Give us a call right now. Go online. Get those raffle tickets. Get one. Get two or three to better your chances. 1-888-805-6477. That's 1-888-805-6477. The address online is nhpr.org.
Our car raffle is a little different from our typical fund drives. It's not a week and a week and a half long. You don't have a lot of time to put off and procrastinate. We're just here for a couple of days. We started yesterday morning. We're going to finish this up tomorrow at noon, which means you have less time to get your tickets. So we're asking you to take a couple of minutes while you're sitting at your desk, while you're streaming. Click on the support button at nhpr.org. Buy a raffle ticket for $50. Buy two for $100. Increase your odds of winning those prizes by buying a couple of raffle tickets. It's easily done at nhpr.org, and of course you can give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
It's a Friday in August. You weren't really going to do anything at work anyway. Right. You were just going to look busy. This is a great time to go online and get those tickets at nhpr.org. You know, there's a chance that you won't win one of those prizes we're raffling off this summer. But there's another reason that most people buy a raffle ticket for the car raffle, and that's to lend some support to New Hampshire Public Radio. That $50 helps us cover our operating expenses, and that $50 will help our reporters in the newsroom. It helps them take the time required to research and report a story. The $50 helps to keep the state informed about domestic and international affairs. It helps to support programs like The Exchange, as well as what's going on right there in your own neighborhood. This is what you listen to New Hampshire Public Radio for. This is why people support it. And the raffle is a fantastic way to do that and get some chance at some great prizes. Give us a call right now. Get your raffle tickets at 1-888-805-6477. The number again is 1-888-805-6477. The web address, nhpr.org. Get your tickets and good luck.
Good morning. You're listening to The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio. Partly to mostly sunny today, hot and humid, with a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Highs today near 90 degrees statewide. Tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, warm, lows in the 60s. And tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Highs will be in the high 80s to the low 90s. Sunday, partly sunny, a chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Highs in the 80s statewide. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Keene State College Continuing Education, offering courses for professional growth, personal enrichment, and career enhancement. Registering for fall classes at 1-800-KSC-1909. And from Revision Energy, offering clean, renewable solar energy systems to New Hampshire homeowners, businesses, and nonprofits. More information at revisionenergy.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, tougher laws for teenage drivers. Should New Hampshire tighten up or not? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. What have been your observations on the road? If you're a parent of a teen, do you think they're really prepared enough when you hand over the keys or not? If you're a teenager yourself learning to drive, or you just recently got your license, give us a call. Tell us what you're seeing and experiencing out there on the roads. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email, the address exchange at nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. With me in studio, Peter Thompson, coordinator of the New Hampshire Highway Safety Agency, and Howard Hedegaard, highway safety specialist at Dartmouth's Injury Prevention Center. And gentlemen, let's go to our callers now. And Ron is waiting in Nashua. Hi, Ron. You're on the air. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Fine. Go ahead, Ron.
Okay. First off, driving is a privilege. It's not a right. And we should make it more difficult as far as training purposes go for teenagers to get licenses. And driving around with a parent is a terrible idea. If my mother is a bad cook, I wouldn't want her teaching you how to cook. No, really.
So the assumption that parents have a lot to share in terms of good driving may or may not be right.
Yeah, they may or may not have the ability. It's one thing to be able to drive a car. It's another thing to be able to see when a person is doing something not quite right or not quite safe and being able to correct it, okay? The other thing is the laws about kids driving should be changed. If you get a DWI, you lose your license for a year. No questions, no muffs, no fuss, no anything. There's accidents and moving violations that are serious. There should be stiffer penalties for that so children realize that there's a problem. The other thing is a lot of people come to this country. I've taught here and overseas. And a lot of people come to this country, and they've been driving on a road, sharing the road with an elephant or a bull or a donkey or something. And they come to America, and they get on our superhighway system, and they don't know what to do because they got a license, but they're not trained. I cordially invite you to go to any school, any shopping mall in the afternoon when kids are getting out, and watch these parents who have come from some country. They've got a new SUV that's just way too big for them, and they have no idea where the curb is. They're looking over the right side of the car. They can't figure out if the curb is.
So, Ron, a call to tighten up in general and require more education for everybody. Sounds like that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Way too many people. You look at your statistics, way too many people are being injured and killed on American highways.
It is tragic. What do you think, Howard?
I strongly agree with what Ron has to say. New Hampshire last year had the best year fatality-wise we've ever had. We only lost 90 people. And year-to-date, we are pretty much in the same position we were last year. That's compared to typically 128 or so lives lost. And some 13,000 injuries occur in motor vehicle crashes just within New Hampshire alone.
Wow, that's
year.
A lot for a small state.
That's absolutely significant. The idea of becoming licensed at 16 and not being required to do anything to educate ourselves to become better, to become the best that we can be behind the wheel – really, until the time that we hang up the keys at the age of 80, 85, 90, whenever it may be, to me just doesn't make sense. And that in particular is where I find the real value in the attitude course that I teach, of course, just about choices, making the best choices that we can possibly make. And to go back to graduated licensing, that's really what it's about. It's often perceived as being added restrictions, a way of trying to make it more difficult for the teens. And it's not that at all. It's really about providing them the best ongoing education over a gradual, and gradual is only a couple of years' time, to allow them to absorb it, to expand their skill sets, and to become the best that they can be to minimize the crash risk.
Well, and we've mentioned a couple of the rules and regulations, but Peter, just to go over them, just remind us briefly what the three or four key differences are between a teenage license and my license.
Okay, let me just make a comment to Ron about the animals in other countries. 2 months ago, I followed a bull moose up 91 for about 5 miles before I could get the bull moose to move off the road.
Wait, he was in front of you?
He was in front of me, and I was trying to get him across one way or the other. So we have problems with wildlife too. And as a matter of fact, the Highway Safety Agency has put together a CD that talks about moose problems and other animal problems. And we've given them all to the Drive Red people, and they use them in their talk. Getting back to the issue, it takes 30 hours of classroom instruction by a certified driver educator. Then there's 10 hours of practice driving with a certified driver education instructor, and 6 hours of driving observation with a certified driver education instructor. So, and then you go on to the 40 additional hours of supervised driving time with a parent, guardian, or someone else who is a responsible adult. So I think we're doing a good job in getting it out. We can always do better, and that's what we move towards.
There are restrictions too, right, Peter, on who a teen can have in the car with him or her, because the research shows if a teenager has a lot of friends in the car, it's distracting.
Right. It states here that shall not operate a motor vehicle with more than one passenger less than 25 years of age who is not a member of the driver's family unless accompanied by licensed responsible adult who is at least 25 years of age.
So you could bring your kid brother to, you know, a track meet or something like that, but you couldn't bring your kid brother and two friends.
Right, exactly.
Let's take some more calls, gentlemen. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. We're taking your questions and comments and thoughts on the rules and regulations surrounding teen drivers here in New Hampshire. The number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. I'd like to bring another voice into our conversation now. This is Rod Hull, driver education instructor at Woodsville High School, New Hampshire manager of A-STAR Driver Education based in Plymouth, also on the adjunct faculty at Keene State in the New Hampshire Driver Education Teacher Certification Program. Rod Hull, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day to be with us.
Thank you.
How would you rate the overall strength or weakness of New Hampshire's teen driving rules? As Peter just outlined, some restrictions on when they can start driving, what times, with whom. How good do you think this system is?
I believe that in New Hampshire, I think it would be beneficial to have a learner's permit program starting at the age of 15 and a half, such as other states do, for the simple fact that, in my opinion, the students are not getting all of the possible driving that they could get with their parents. For example, up at Woodsville, where I teach, the students from Vermont come across the border and they're allowed to operate in New Hampshire because they have a permit system. I, on the other hand, have to drive for 35 minutes just for my students to see the interstate.
To get over from where you are, yeah. We should say where Woodsville is. You're near the Vermont border and you're pretty far north.
Right near Wells River.
Yeah. So go ahead. No, go ahead, John.
Okay. But I think we need to start with that as having a learner's permit system in the state. In addition to that, I believe that the hours restricted that they can't drive between the hours of 1 and 4. I understand that the reason that was changed is to take into consideration agricultural people that work on farms that need to go to work early in the morning, and also for different sports organizations for kids to go to practices. But I believe that possibly it shouldn't be a blanket allowing everyone to do that. I think that if a student if a student of that age works on a farm or is involved in a sport that they should have special permission. There should be some sort of a permit for that to happen.
So keep it from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. for most people, but get special permission if you need to for obvious reasons.
No, I think that we know that teen fatalities happen much earlier in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, something between the hours of 9 and, let's say, 1 p.m.
I see. So you're saying pull it back to much earlier in the evening.
I believe that's... According to the teen fatality rates in other states, the states that have been doing that are seeing a decrease in the fatals. So I believe that, you know, something possibly like 10 p.m. could be a starting point to for their restrictions.
You know, let me ask you a broader question and pull out of the rules and regs for just a moment, if we could. Rod, there's been a lot of research, emerging research, on just how immature the teenage brain is. Turns out maybe we're not even fully adults brain-wise until in our early 20s. How do you interpret that research as someone who works so much with young drivers?
I believe it's very accurate. It's my experience that the female brain develops earlier in life, and the male brain, that's why male brains aren't developed fully until about the age of 25. And research shows that females, it's around 21. And that's one reason males have higher insurance rates and so forth. The guys are the ones that are out there doing the crazy behaviors such as drifting and such. So they're in a higher risk category.
You know, one last question for you, Rod. We've talked about the state rules and some of the rules that you would like to see changed. But then there are parents, and, you know, we have our own rules. So what would you advise parents listening to do when they reach that critical threshold of giving the kids the keys?
I believe that first of all, to back up, when it comes to parent involvement in driver's ed, I believe that parents need to be much more involved in that process. There's been, over the years, it's kind of a belief that I'm sending my student to a driving school so the teacher can teach them how to drive. Parents need to be much more involved. They need to work on driving skills rather than simply driving to Walmart, driving to Shaw's. They need to work on skills over an extended period of time.
Like skids and heavy traffic and specific skills like that.
All different situations, snow conditions, rain. Take the kids out at that point. Take them out in the bad conditions so they're with somebody so they don't experience it by themselves for the first time. And I believe that the driving hours should be longer than they are.
Mm-hmm. Now it's 40.
It's right. I know that in many other countries, for example, Germany, for a student to get a license in Germany, it's about a 2-year process.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about potential risk of serious injuries or death. And I just think in general, in the state, we need to take it much more seriously and put tighter restrictions on the GDL.
Well, Rod, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Rod Hull, again, driver education instructor at Woodsville High School, also New Hampshire manager of A-Star Driver Education based in Plymouth. We'll take more of your questions and comments about teen driving rules and regulations here in the Granite State after a very short break, so keep it right here.
Hi, I'm Barbara Bach.
Hi, I'm Virginia Soul.
I am Suzanne DeRozier.
I'm Drew Carter, winner of the 2011...
winner of the early bird raffle in 2009.
I've been purchasing the raffle tickets for probably 3 or 4 years now.
I like to donate, and they had a prize of $2,000 of gas, so I thought I'd take a chance. I gave them away.
We shared the winnings.
I was sick for a while, and I was able to help give people gas tickets that they love.
Well, we shared the cards.
And thanks for what they had done for me.
So both my son and daughter-in-law, each of them got a card.
And some of them I gave to her birthday gift.
And we gave one to a good friend of ours who's getting her feet underneath her.
So they went to good use.
And then we kept one for the household use.
They had two more chances to win something else. But I was happy that I won what I won. I didn't care about anything else.
They easily got a couple of months out of their cards, and ours lasted probably 4 months. Well, I think like many of the other listeners, you want to give back. You know, I get a lot out of NHPR, and I want to give back something.
And we thank Barbara Bach and Drew Carter for giving back to NHPR. And we'd like to thank you for giving back to NHPR by when you buy your raffle ticket today at 1-888-805-6477. I'm Andrew Perella here in the studio with Rick Ganley. We'll be returning to the exchange in just a few minutes, but we want to remind you to buy your raffle tickets today.
You've got to do it quickly. We are getting down to the deadline here. And our grand prize is a new car. Now, you can choose from a Ford Fusion Hybrid or a Toyota Prius, donated in part by Groponi Automotive Group. Second prize, a bicycle and roof rack from S&W Sports in Concord. The third prize is a kayak, donated by Portsmouth Kayak Adventures. Now, the reason to call right now is you're running out of time to be the winner of our early bird raffle, as we were talking about, as Andrew alluded to, the $2,000 in gas gift cards from Irving Oil. We are getting down to the wire here. Noon tomorrow is the deadline, so give us a call right now during this early bird portion of the raffle. And don't forget, you are also entered in for all of those other prizes we've been talking about. 1-888-805-6477, 1-888-805-6477.
As you say, Rick, noon tomorrow is the deadline for the early bird prize, that $2,000 in gas gift cards. That's just 26 and a half hours away. And when you think about it, the next 26 and a half hours are pretty busy. You're going to be asleep for maybe 6 to 8 hours of that, maybe 9 or 10 if you're going to plan on sleeping in tomorrow. If you're lucky. You got to go to work today. That's another 8 or 9 hours. You got to run some errands. You got to cook dinner. You're going to try and catch some of the Olympics later. all of a sudden, 26 and a half hours isn't a whole lot of time. So take a couple of minutes now while you're listening to The Exchange. Click on over to the support button on NHPR.org if you're listening at your desk, or give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 and get a couple of raffle tickets for yourself.
8 or 9 hours of sleep. That's a dream. What a beautiful, beautiful dream. Give us a call right now, because not only are you getting a chance for some great prizes, including that $2,000 in gas gift cards, but you're probably going to feel a little sense of ownership for the radio station. I'm sure that when you call into The Exchange, when you talk on The Exchange to Laura and her guests, you feel a little sense of ownership with the show, because you are a part of that show. But when you buy your raffle tickets, when you support New Hampshire Public Radio, you'll feel an ownership of the radio station overall, to all the programming you listen to, whether it's Morning Edition or The Exchange, The Diane Rehm Show, Word of Mouth, All Things Considered. You'll feel a little sense of ownership whenever you listen to New Hampshire Public Radio. So give us a call right now, 1-888-805-6477. Grab your little piece of ownership and grab your chance at some great prizes, including the $2,000 in gas gift cards. 1-888-805-6477, or go online to nhpr.org.
We just heard a few moments ago from Barbara Bach and Drew Carter, past early bird winners, past winners of that $2,000 in gas gift cards, explaining what they did with their cards, because it's several cards that you will win if you're our winner. It's, in fact, eight cards at $250 denominations. So you can give them to friends, you can give them to family, you can stow some away for a rainy day, you can donate them to a local Meals on Wheels or a local charity that you like. There are a number of things to do that you are empowered to do if you are the winner of our early bird prize. But there is only one way to win that, and that is to buy a raffle ticket or two. They're just $50 each, so you can get two for $100, but only when you call 1-888-805-6477. And, of course, you can visit the website and click on the support button at nhpr.org.
Yeah, I love that idea of being able to give out some of the cards to family members and friends as thank you gifts, or as a little something extra for people. And of course, you can keep some for yourself as well to help out with your own budget. That's a great thing. Or maybe you use it on one big road trip.
That's right.
Yeah, you could do that as well. There's so many fantastic opportunities to do with that. That $2,000 just frees up so much in the rest of your budget. But time is running out for you to get in the drawing for the $2,000 worth of gas. As Andrew said, tomorrow, noontime is the deadline. So don't put it off any longer. Do it before the weekend gets going. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
You're listening to NHPR. Good morning. We'll see lots of sunshine today with a threat of a passing shower or a thunderstorm. High temperatures will be pushing near 90 degrees across the state. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, muggy and warm, low temperatures in the mid-60s. And then for tomorrow, a snapshot of today, partly sunny skies, highs in the 80s north of the White Mountains and to the low 90s toward the south. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Toadstool Bookshops, presenting Brookline's Jeff Cleghorn, signing Babeldoku, tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Lorden Plaza in Milford, toadbooks.com. And from Concord Regional Visiting Nurses Association, offering A Matter of Balance, a falls prevention program for older adults beginning September 5th in Bow, crvna.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at whether New Hampshire should adopt tougher laws for teen drivers. Do we need to tighten up or not? Tell us what you think. What have you seen out there on the road? Especially if you're a parent of a teen, do you think your child is ready when it's time for you to hand over the keys, or not? Is there enough preparation and education? If you're a new teenager learning how to drive, or you just recently got your license, we'd also like your observations, questions, and comments about whether New Hampshire should tighten up on its teen driving rules or not. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. And Howard Hedegaard and Peter Thompson, let's go right back to our callers. John's waiting in Manchester. Hi, John. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, great. Well, I guess two quick comments. I guess, first of all, I just think listening to the show, I got to say I'm not surprised that the guy that runs a driver's ed school wants more government-mandated driver's education. But second, just sort of, is there any way that these issues could be addressed through incentives, through insurance, rather than penalization and criminalization of teenagers doing behavior that's really normal for adults and, you know, kind of extending their adolescence more and more?
So, in other words, do it through positive behavior incentives, like, you know, lower insurance rates and so forth,
right,
for good drivers.
On insurance for further education or for, you know, hazard driving education. Each one could chip off your premiums or, you know, whatever way it was organized. Just incentives rather than penalties and criminal penalties.
Although we're talking about lives here, right? I mean, we're talking about crashes that kill people. So you don't want to go...
We're talking about people's rights and people's lives trying to go and, you know, live their lives. And teenagers, as we said, the idea that you can't go to a sports practice because you're not allowed to drive late at night because you're too, you know, because you're a teenager, even though you have a license. I mean, there's got to be a better way where you can respect individuals' right to travel and, you know, not criminalize teenage behavior so we get more young people with criminal records.
What do you think about this, Howard? Thanks a lot, John, for the call.
Well, my first thought is that the intent behind graduated licensing is not in any way designed to take away or to penalize. It's to provide the young novice driver the added experience to make him the best for the rest of his life so as to protect his ability to drive. You know, when we make the choices that result in the crashes, and I will say of the 90 fatalities that occurred last year, almost every one of those crashes were preventable. I get a chart every year from the Department of Motor Vehicles showing the primary cause behind each fatal crash. Almost every one of them are preventable. If only we were taught how to make better choices, if we were just taught the reality of what happens on the roadway. It's the first time in life that a teenager is making choices that have got absolutely significant consequences, not only for lives that might be taken because of their driving behaviors, but the impact then on them. They become a felon because they've taken somebody's life. And when that can be preventable, and we know it by looking at the reasons behind the crashes, why wouldn't we want to provide our new drivers and every driver with the best information that we can provide them so that we can minimize what's happening on the roadways?
Well, what do you mean preventable? Because beyond obviously not taking drugs or drinking before you get behind the wheel or putting on your seatbelt, you were telling me during the break about one young lady who died because she wasn't wearing a seatbelt. She was ejected. But what else do you mean by preventable?
Last year, 30% of the fatal crashes, and the numbers play out to the injury-based crashes, even the fender benders, but 30% were alcohol and drug-related. 17% were distraction. 10 were center line violations that very likely is tied to a distraction. Speed, fatigue. We lost 4 people because of people driving too tired. The crash that happened in Manchester on 293 just last Saturday, where 2 19-year-olds having fun at the beach, coming home, the passenger's asleep, the driver falls asleep as well, good friends. His friend is now dead, and the
tragic
driver with minor injuries, of course, is going to deal with the psychological, the legal, all of those issues. If only somehow we had been able to get better messaging to that individual about the risks of even just driving when we're too tired, which all of us do. I mean, we do it. We know what we're doing, and we know there's risk. We just believe it will never happen to me.
You know, Peter Thompson, our caller, also brought up driving schools, and I wanted to ask you a sort of related question to that. There's been some concern that schools are cutting down, high schools, I mean, are cutting down on how much they subsidize driver's education, that people have to pay more and more out of pocket for this. Because of that, there was an effort in the legislature this year to put some of driver's education online. Remind us what that was all about and why it got such a huge reaction.
Right. That was House Bill 1440. And it was a very hot bill to be heard. And basically, there were a group of people who just felt that the money to for a youngster to get their license was in the area from $500 to $700. And they just couldn't come up with that kind of money. So that was one group of people there. And then there was the other group of people who did not want to see young people have to go online to get their education. And I testified on the bill to leave it with the driver ed folks because they're professional people. And it was one of the largest hearings that I've ever seen. They had to move it to the House representatives, which there were probably 450 people in there to take a look at the bill. The House did pass the bill, 240-74. It went over to the Senate, and the Senate put an amendment on it to what basically to table it and to look into it rather than to pass it. So that's where we're at there. It'll obviously be back in the next legislative go-round.
So huge reaction to this. People
yes.
concerned that you really aren't going to get as rich an experience online. Was that the issue?
That was the issue, that you could do it with less money. But you know something, when you're dealing with your own child, as far as I'm concerned, I want professional people to instruct me rather than the computer.
Here's an email that just came in from Matt in Wilder, Vermont. He says, I feel strongly that all drivers should have regular evaluations of driving skill and knowledge. I'm particularly concerned with the elderly and post-injury drivers. Matt says, an example, someone I know sustained a traumatic brain injury, found himself completely rehabbed from the ground up. He now has a history of seizures, and while he lost his license for a few months following a seizure, he has never had to retest to continue driving. Matt says this doesn't seem right, since he's been pulled over more than once for erratic driving and given sobriety tests while completely sober. Thanks, Matt, for that email. Howard, I'm guessing you're right behind Matt. I know you're an advocate of all of us doing what we need to do and stay up to date with our driving skills.
I absolutely support Matt's position on that. Just, again, the idea here, driving is the riskiest thing the average person does. It is the one thing that has consequences that are so huge, not only to the driver, but to the occupants of the vehicle, to the others that we share the road with, that type of thing. And the idea that we have minimal, and New Hampshire has one of the leanest educational processes for somebody to become licensed on their 16th birthday at the age of 16. An Olympian, we're all glued to the TV watching the Olympics. Every Olympian there has spent significantly more than 40 hours. Our kids in their high school spend more time learning basketball, their favorite music instrument, whatever. And yet we say it's all right to provide them basically minimal learning experience before we hand them a license.
So a call from you for longer hours behind the wheel with a parent or an instructor than just the 40 that we have now.
Absolutely. And for that matter, I think the best graduated licensing program, as Rod mentioned earlier, is what the parent does with their own child at home. All of our parents are not the best drivers, absolutely. None of us are really that good at it.
But I'm guessing that you are, but it's just a guess. And probably Peter. You know, one last question for you, Peter. You mentioned the bill that will be back in the legislature to add an online component to New Hampshire driver's ed. Do you expect any major changes in New Hampshire teen driving laws anytime soon, again, given that and given all these calls to tighten up from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety?
I don't think so. At this point, I would hope that we don't go on online. As I said, my concern was the 1 to 4 a.m. in the morning, and I think that's could be legislative down
to maybe 9 or 10 o'clock
exactly.
at night. All right. Well, both of you, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate it. Peter, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Peter Thompson, coordinator for the New Hampshire Highway Safety Agency. Howard Hedegaard, good to see you. Thank you also. Howard Hedegaard, highway safety specialist at Dartmouth's Injury Prevention Center. This is The Exchange. We're going to check in now very quickly with our summer car raffle.
Thank you, Laura. And hello, I'm Rick Ganley alongside Andrew Perella, asking you to buy a raffle ticket right now while we're doing NHPR's Summer Car Raffle. It's your chance to support The Exchange and New Hampshire Public Radio and get entered to win some great prizes. Give us a call right now. Get your $50 raffle tickets at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
We're calling this part of the raffle the early bird prize, but it's not just for those type A personalities who always have their taxes in by the end of January. It's for everyone who calls in by noon tomorrow. It means you'll not only be entered to win your choice of two very, very different hybrid cars in a couple of weeks, but you could also win $2,000 in gas gift cards from Irving Oil, which could set you up for as much as a year as far as subsidizing your fuel budget. So give us a call. Buy your $50 raffle tickets at 1-888-805-6477. And, of course, you can click on the support link at nhpr.org.
So if you enter that this summer raffle by noon tomorrow, we will put your name in the hat for the early bird prize, as Andrew was saying, $2,000 worth of gas gift cards. Now, we'll draw the winner next weekend, announce it during car. We're going to draw the winner, I should say, this weekend, and we'll announce it during Car Talk next Saturday. So you have until tomorrow at noon to get your name in the hat. Again, you'll be eligible for the $2,000 in gas gift cards, and you'll also be eligible for all the other fantastic prizes we have. And we'll be announcing the winner of the early bird portion, that's the $2,000 in gas gift cards, next Saturday. Got all that?
I think so.
1-888-805-6477. The gist is you've got to get in before noontime tomorrow to get in the early bird prize. 1-888-805-6477.
And, of course, all of these great prizes would be wonderful to win. But the real reason to call and buy a raffle ticket or two is to support programs like The Exchange, to support conversations like we're listening to today about the teen driving situation in this country, and specifically in New Hampshire, and how it could or might or should or shouldn't change. This is a chance for you to voice your opinion about that and talk to some of the folks who are deeply involved with the issue as well, and kind of contribute to that exchange of ideas. That's the sort of programming that your $50 helps to pay for in terms of helping us with the research and keeping the lights on and keeping the microphones open and all that good stuff. $50 is all it takes to help us out with that and put yourself in the running to win some really great prizes. So give us a call, 1-888-805-6477.
I'm often the very first person in the building in the morning here, about 4 o'clock in the morning. I can tell you, being the early riser has its advantages. It has its disadvantages, but it has its advantages, and you can get an awful lot done when you come in early on. You know, they say the early bird gets the worm. So think about this. If you get in early on the car raffle, you could get that $2,000 in gas gift cards. Getting in early does have its advantages. So go ahead, give us a call right now. Maybe we could be picking your name tomorrow after noontime, and you'll get those $2,000 in gas gift cards and at the same time be eligible for the other fantastic prizes, including the car. 1-888-805-6477. That's the number to call. You can also go to nhpr.org. There you can see all the prizes that you could win, get all the details, all the eligibility rules. It's all right there online, and you can get your raffle tickets there as well. nhpr.org, or again, 1-888-805-6477. And good luck.
It's a minute before 10 o'clock. Good morning. You're listening to New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from UNH Manchester, inviting first-year and transfer students to explore programs beginning